Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tom Bart.
All right, guys. Hour number two. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com here. Happy Easter. Happy Passover, everybody. Hope you guys enjoy tomorrow. We will be off tomorrow because the Vegas Golden Knights are playing a Game 6, in case you haven't noticed, which I'm sure you knew about. But we are off tomorrow. So everybody enjoy the holiday. And we've been talking about just about everything tonight, getting some good Twitter feedback. Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter. You guys want to be a part of their show, 876-1340, 876-1340 gets you a part of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in draft season. You know, it's funny, I tell the story every year that I began my career as a draft analyst. That was my first time I was ever on the air, more than just an update guy. And I've always had just a love for the draft that, you know, 20 years ago was a little weird. You know, 20 years ago, to be studying tape and looking at draft prospects. And now all of a sudden it seems everybody is a draft guru, right? Everybody's a draft guru. So the things that we're going to talk about over the next hour, understand when I give you things that I'm saying, I'm hearing this, or the word is that, I'm not telling you that I have any more information than people that are out there. Generally speaking, the draft is a crapshoot. It's who do you want to believe. Anybody can get plenty of information. I could get inside information. I could get information from teams, from agents, but they all have an agenda. So you don't know who to even trust. I mean, I could sit down with a general manager and get a completely different story than what's going to happen on Thursday because he's trying to throw people off. Or as the draft board moves, so do the perception and the idea of what they wanted to do. This is certainly not an art form, okay? This is a very fluid situation. One of the things you have to know about the NBA draft, and this is something that a lot of people just seem to forget, is it's not always about the best player. It is not always about the fit for the team. A lot of times, it also has to do with how quickly teams can adjust, and it has to do a lot of emotion is involved in the NFL draft. A lot of emotion. Look, the NBA draft, we generally know who the top 10 guys are going to be. Usually the top 5 are the guys that are going to make the impact after that. You know, you got to find the diamond in the rough. There's not a lot of intrigue in the NBA draft outside of the top guys. The NFL draft, I mean, it's littered. The NFL Hall of Fame is littered with guys taken after the third round, right? Taking guys after the second or third, fourth, fifth. It's littered with guys that were passed on. You know, best quarterback in the league, in best player in league history, fell. Okay? So a lot of momentum comes. And what happens is this, is that you have your draft board. And anybody that's played fantasy sports, it's similar to this. You play fantasy sports and you go, okay, I'm going to take 1, 2, or 3. I got the 8th pick in the draft. I'm going to take one of these guys here. And then all of a sudden, somebody falls. You expect it to be taken like number 2. Well, I got to take him. And you go, wait a minute. Is there something I don't know about him? Why is everybody else passing? This happens in the draft room. Why is this guy falling? All of a sudden, what's going on? There are also times where things are floated to throw people off. Remember the Warren Sapp situation. Warren Sapp, things were floated that you know, he was caught with drugs, so he could fall, so he could be drafted. I mean, these are all head games going on. So when we talk about the NFL draft, understand that these head games go on all the time between agents, teams, GMs, players, players' family. I mean, it happens with everything. It's almost like high school. You know, you tell the girl that I kind of like her, but you tell her that this is the NFL draft. So, with that being said, the first thing I want to talk about is the Oakland Raiders, because they had news coming up, and they're going to be the Vegas Raiders, and they had some of the most head scratching news that I really remember pre-draft. We remember players, like I said, Warren Sapp. I remember Tunsil. You know, smoking weed with a gas mask on and things of that nature. That all happened kind of like before the draft. That was very, very strange and very weird. I remember that stuff. Okay. But I remember a team. Apparently John Gruden and the Raiders organization sent all their scouts home for the week. That's it. You guys are done. And they sent their scouts, all the scouts home. What is this? What? Why? Let's talk about the psychology of this. And I should have actually reached out to a guest to be a psychiatrist, because this is a psychological game. Do they not trust them? Do they not trust the leaks? Do they not trust somebody leaking it to the media? Is this, well, you've done your job, exactly who we're getting, we'll reconvene in the draft room? That is a weird situation if that's the case. Is this to throw people off the trail? Is this, you know, oh, look, we have dysfunction, we want to show that we have it. Is this more of a fact that John Gruden's going, you know what, none of the draft analysts matter because I'm going to trade up and I'm going to get my guy in the top two or three. Or maybe he's trying to trade up for number one. And look, I don't need draft analysts to tell me who to take at number one. And I'm going to trade, you know, all kinds of guys. These are all the head games that are going on. Right now where the Oakland Raiders are, and soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, they are in a head-scratching mode. That's all you can say about them right now. I don't understand this move, and maybe I'll understand it on Thursday. Look, if Thursday, all of a sudden, coming to the podium is Roger Goodell, and he says, you know, the Oakland Raiders have traded for the number one pick in the draft, I'm going to go, oh, I kind of understand that. But what about later on in the draft? You know, later down, deep down in the draft, you still need your scouts there, or do they believe that they did their due diligence already? Very strange happenings, you know, when it comes to that. You also have the idea that Josh Rosen might be traded. Now, this is also going to be a massive, massive impact on what some teams do. Redskins potentially want Rosen. Giants potentially want Rosen. Giants, if the Giants get Rosen, they could pass at number six on a quarterback, get their quarterback at 17. And then you have Eli, Rosen, and then maybe another quarterback. Or are they just going to say, you know what? We're not worried about it. We're really behind Eli. Which is what they're showing right now. So Josh Rosen and where he winds up, if he winds up somewhere, is massive. That idea is a massive, massive situation. What do I think about Josh Rosen? I think he's gone. I think he's gone. I don't think that you could have all of this go on, all of this chatter go on, and not have him gone. So I think Josh Rosen is already gone. It's just a matter of who's going to trade for him. What do I think he gets in return? You know, I think that the Cardinals are asking for a second. I don't know if they get it. Now, I will say this. Last year, I was here. I gave you my draft review. I did not like Josh Rosen at all. At all. So I am not a fan of his, but I will tell you this. 365 days ago, if I told a team like the Giants, you can get Josh Rosen for a second rounder, people would have jumped at it. So what have you seen on a bad offensive line and a schedule that the Cardinals played? What did you see on tape? Or is it his personality that people have talked about? Is that the problem, Josh Rosen's personality? I think it has something to do with it. I do. I think that has something to do with it. But you're turning around and telling me that you can get Rosen for a second right now? I think that teams are offering a third. I think that this is going to go right down to the wire. I think it goes until Wednesday night, maybe even Thursday afternoon. But Josh Rosen will be traded. Hey, listen, they might trade him after the draft. They might trade him after the first round. That's very possible, too, but not probable. If that happens, Arizona's going to get a bad situation because teams want to draft, you know, a quarterback. The thing is this, is that there might be somebody holding the bag. Somebody think, you know what, we wanted a first-round quarterback. Couldn't get him. He just missed us. Maybe now we go for it. So there's a lot of moving pieces. Here's my take, though. Josh Rosen's not the starting quarterback for Arizona next year. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you want to just make it a simple statement, Josh Rosen's not the quarterback for Arizona next year. Where does he go? Maybe you get a little intrigue when we talk about my top 10. and I'm going to give you my top 10. I'm also going to talk about all of the quarterbacks in the draft as well. So let's get right into it, right? Why delay? I'm going to get right into it right now. We'll go team by team, my top 10. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. I'll talk about extra teams. You know, teams that are not in the top 10 that might have an intriguing draft position, that might need a situation. So, as you have, and you guys want to be a part of it, it's 876-1340 or Tom Barton Sports on Twitter. As you have noticed, I am going Kyler Murray number one to Arizona. I mentioned this in December. Okay? In December, I started to hear that Murray was getting a little, you know, a little momentum. Just up the draft boards, even though he was signed for baseball, even though he wasn't playing football, I started to hear some things. And go, really? Yeah, I'm starting to hear some things. Okay. On my show at Sports Garden, sportsgarten.com, that is with a T, Sports G-A-R-T-E-N, on my show I had some football writers on. Okay? I had football writers on that in January started to tell me that there was a little groundswell. The Kyler Murray thing. And it just started getting louder and louder. And I started paying attention more and more to it. And I was very convinced, before the Super Bowl. I said, you know what? Cardinals are taking Murray. They're taking Murray. There are certain things in life that you have got to own up to or wonder if it was just rhetoric and talk. Cliff Kingsbury got this job, okay? Cliff Kingsbury got the job to be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals told him, we want you to be in charge of the organization. If he is the guy that's going to be in charge of the organization, then you've got to give him the players he wants. Not just talk, just by action. He has said publicly that if he had the number one pick in the draft before he was a head coach, he'd take Murray. He is completely head over heels for Murray. He recruited him. He wanted him. Now he's got a chance to have him. And Murray, by the way, graded out a lot bigger than anyone gave him credit for. Murray graded out a lot better than anybody gave him credit for. I like the move in some aspects, but I hate it in others. And let me explain why. I don't believe that Kyler Murray is a superstar. Okay? I don't believe, I'll give you my quarterback rundown in a little bit. I don't believe that he's a superstar. I don't believe that this is a guy that you should be making the number one overall pick in the draft and getting rid of Rosen for. But I like it because if you're going to go down in a job, you want to go down in a job with your guys. Right? Think about cooking shows. We all watch all these cooking shows, MasterChef and everything else, right? You don't want to go down. If you can't bake on the final, you're not going to go make a cake. You're going to make your steak, right? You're a steak guy. I'm going to make a steak. If Cliff Kingsbury is going to go down with the ship, go down with the ship with your guy. So I like the conviction by Kingsbury. I like the conviction by the Cardinals. I like the idea that they're saying, you know what? We don't care what the perception is here. We want to go get our guy. And it's worth it. And listen, I said the same thing about my Chicago Bears and Mitch Trubisky. I didn't care that they traded up to go get Trubisky. I didn't care that they gave up draft picks to go get him. If you get it right and you get that right quarterback, who cares? If Murray is the right guy, I'm not saying that I believe he is, but if Murray is the right guy, none of this matters. It doesn't matter you have to get rid of Rosen. It doesn't matter that, well, maybe he should have been picked at one, but he should be picked out. It doesn't matter. And I liken it, once again, I'll liken it to a fantasy football draft or a fantasy baseball draft. If you're picking number one, but the guy that you want is projected to be seven or eight, get him at one because you're not going to get him in the second round. So if Kyler Murray is out there, and Kingsbury believes in him that much, I'm okay with them drafting him. I just think it's a mistake player, not necessarily a mistake move. Don't get your guy, but I think it's a mistake player. I do not think that Arizona trades this pick. I don't think Arizona messes around. I think Arizona's known that Murray is going to be a player for a long time. And I think that that's exactly who they're sticking with. That's who they go with. And that's that. I mean, that's as simple as it can be. Number two pick in the draft, here's where it gets interesting. This is the, I'm going to say that the best defensive line draft that I can remember coming in. You know, other defensive line drafts, you know, after the fact, they've had, you know, well, look, this guy became really good. This guy did. I'm not telling you what they became. I'm saying right now, going into the draft, I don't remember a deeper and a better defensive line draft. San Francisco's up number two. They have absolutely no need at running back. They have no need at quarterback. They could use maybe a receiver. You look at maybe they could use an offensive line, but they got to concentrate on defense. And you have two, maybe three defensive guys that can absolutely become that J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, defensive MVP type guy. Nick Bosa is their guy. San Francisco gets lucky here because Nick Bosa probably should be the number one pick in the draft. San Francisco gets lucky here because Nick Bosa has a chance to be a generational talent. He's that good. Now, he did take a year off. I get it because of injury. He's coming back from injury. I understand that. Okay? And the Niners play a system where Quinnen Williams might be the guy. Quinnen Williams is a defensive tackle. They play a system, San Francisco, that might be a Quinnen Williams type of system, but I just don't think you can go past Nick Bosa here. I just don't think you can. You know, it's not something good. Here's a little inside tip for you. Okay? Nick Bosa had to go out and delete some of his pro-Trump, anti-Colin Kaepernick tweets. And when you see that going on, you go, that means the team is going, hey, listen, you know, we're going to draft you. We don't want people to find this out on the draft. You know, Kaepernick was a Niner. You're going to be a Niner. Just listen, a little smoke. Maybe there's some fire to it. So I think Nick Bosa goes to San Francisco. And San Francisco gets really lucky because I think Nick Bosa is probably the best player that should go number one. I don't know if he's the best player in the draft, but he should go number one. I told you Jalen Ramsey is the best player of that draft. I told you that Derwin James is the best player of that draft. I'll tell you who I think is the best player of the draft. But here we go. Number three, the New York Jets. Now, this is an interesting pick because I'm starting to hear momentum and movement that the New York Jets may trade out of this pick. I think it's a massive mistake. You're the New York Jets. You are in a win, 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 win. All you do is win situation here at number three. There are three top defensive players. You are guaranteed to get three of the top defensive players. The Jets haven't had a pass rusher since John Abraham that really matters. Okay? So you have an opportunity to get one of these guys. Quinnen Williams fits their system, but they just keep taking inside defensive guys and missing on them. I know a lot of people looking at Quinnen Williams and thinking that he's going to the New York Jets. A lot of people look at this situation and say, that's their guy. I don't think so. I know how good he is. I understand it, what he can be on the inside. People are saying that he might be Aaron Donald. I get that. I'm going Josh Allen here if I'm the Jets, and I think that they do. Josh Allen is a high-motor, big-time guy. You have your offense coming together. You need your defense. This is the player you need. I think he's the best pass rusher in the draft. He may be the best player in the draft. I think the Jets decide to take him instead of an inside tackle, who they just have had zero success with. Which brings us to the Oakland Raiders at four. Now, I have started to hear rumors that the Oakland Raiders are looking quarterback. I've started to hear not only rumors, but a lot of groundswell here where the Raiders are looking for a quarterback. Don't do it, Oakland. You have an opportunity here, just like the New York Jets, to walk out of here with, I think that the top four are the top four. You've got an opportunity here. Quinnen Williams is sitting there for the taking. He's right in your lap. He's right there to grab. You can't mess this up by going out and reaching for a quarterback that may not be there. You know, you're hoping he's that guy. He may not be that guy. He may not be that guy. So I'm looking at this situation and saying, Quinnen Williams, it makes too much sense. It just makes too much sense right now to go out there and pass on him. So I'm going to give Gruden and the Raiders credit. I'm going to say they take Josh Allen. Tampa Bay sitting at 5, and this is where it gets a little dicey. Okay, Tampa Bay is sitting at 5. They have an opportunity to go get a number of guys. I'm pretty convinced that the top 4 are those top 4. I'm pretty convinced. The order, I'm not positive. I think I got 1, 2, 3, 4 could be swapped. Okay, 5 could be a crapshoot. Here's where Ed Oliver starts to come into the picture. Ed Oliver is a supreme talent, but he's got a 2-cent head. He's just a problem. He's a problem. Okay? But I will say this. Tampa Bay is a team that would take shots on a problem. Ed Oliver falls into the realm of, okay, we could kind of take a shot here. But are they so burned from Winston that they don't want to add an Ed Oliver here? Are they so burned from him for that? Yeah, they might be. You know, they actually might be. They might be that burned that they pass on an Ed Oliver because they don't want that kind of stuff. Another guy here, maybe Devin White, a linebacker from LSU. That would make a lot of sense as well. I think they do it, though. I think they say, you know what? We're going to take the shot. We're going to do it, and we're going to take Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver, who's got problems, Ed Oliver goes in this spot to Tampa Bay. Number 6, the New York Giants. This is where it gets really interesting because the Giants are doing their homework on Jones, the quarterback out of Duke. They really have been connected to Haskins for a while. But I don't believe that the New York Giants can take a quarterback here. Because if the Giants take a quarterback here, that means they have no plan. They have no plan of attack. How can you have a plan of attack? Why would you have paid Eli the money to just let him mentor someone? It doesn't make any sense. So I don't think the Giants take a quarterback here at 6. It might be smoke and mirrors, but Gettleman has led everybody to believe that. What we know about Gettleman, he is self-admitted. Look, I like the big guys up front. I like big offensive tackles. I love big offensive linemen, and I like pass rushers, which makes me believe there's one pass rusher here that he's just not going to be able to pass up, and that's Montez Sweat, I'm sorry, for Mississippi State defensive end. Okay, they have to think quarterback here. I just don't think they will. He had a tremendous combine, 6'6". This guy is dynamic. He's big. He's safe, which I think means something here. And I think that the Giants take the safe pick and they grab him. Jacksonville, seeming like everybody has Jacksonville connected to the right guy, the same player that I have, and that's Juwan Taylor. He is the best offensive tackle in the draft. If you go get yourself a Nick Foles with a new quarterback, you've got to go protect him. An offensive line makes a lot of sense. I know that they tried to build that offensive line last year, but he is the best. Jonah Williams is up there, but right now, Juwan Taylor, that's who the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to go with. Number 8, Detroit Lions, becomes very interesting here. I have heard tight end for Detroit. I am looking at this as the perfect trade-in spot. Now, Tampa Bay might trade out as well. If somebody loves a quarterback, that makes sense. But if somebody misses there and then they see the Giants not take a quarterback, okay, if the Giants don't take a quarterback, you know Jacksonville's not going to. You know Detroit's not going to. You know Buffalo's not going to. You know, all of a sudden, you got to get in front of Denver, though, who very well might. So you're looking at the number 8 pick, 8 and 9. The next two picks, they might be on the block. They might be tradable commodities. I can see a situation where Miami moves up because Miami is not far down here. Miami's at 13. I can see an opportunity where Cincinnati moves up into the spot. But let's, for the sake of argument, say Detroit stays. Who are they looking at? Who can they go get? Well, I'm not going tight end here. I think I think a lot of people are getting a little carried away. I am not going tight end here. I'm going Rashawn Gray. I think a hometown guy stays in the hometown. I think Michigan defensive tackle, defensive end, Rashawn Gary, he's their guy. He is very athletic, very big, could be the cornerstone of the Detroit defense. I like the fact, I enjoy putting guys from where they played in their same city. I think Michigan guy, Detroit situation, that's the guy for Detroit. Buffalo, well, here you go with Buffalo. Again, another opportunity for them to trade down. Now, I don't think they trade down with Miami. Miami with Detroit. I don't think they're going to flip-flop with Miami, and I don't think Cincinnati feels the need to flip-flop here. So Buffalo's sitting back. Where are they looking? Who are they looking for? Buffalo Bills have a lot of holes. The Buffalo Bills need a lot of things. I think that they are dying for a pass rusher to come to them. And Brian Burns, the defensive end from Florida State, makes sense here. Okay, Burns is a guy that could fall to the mid-rounds, but I think he's kind of considered a top 10, top 15 guy. If you miss the top pass rushers, Buffalo makes sense. Buffalo has a long history of liking guys from Florida State, by the way, and getting guys like O'Leary, the tight end, and you know, they like these Florida State players. I think that they grabbed one here. Finally, number 10, the Denver Broncos. This is an opportunity for them to go out there and grab a quarterback. They have a few on their radar. I just don't think that they do. John Elway has just been miss with the quarterback. He's got to get it right here. He's just got to get it right. Denver is all about defense. Denver wins with defense, but the Denver defense is getting old. I've explained that time and time again. They are getting old. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, who do you have in the middle of that? How about Devin White from LSU? And you give them a linebacking core that nobody can compete with. Devin White from LSU goes to the Denver Broncos at 10. All right, guys, that is my mock first round. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to go over a couple other teams and talk about the quarterbacks. Where do they go? Who are they with? And what's the situation? All that and more right after this.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tom Barton.
All right, guys, we are talking the NFL draft coming up this Thursday. This is my first top 10. I do think somebody trades in to the top 10 for a quarterback. I do think Detroit's and Tampa Bay's spots are probably sitting there and the most alluring. I don't think the Jets trade out of 3, even though I'm hearing the conversation. I don't believe the Giants draft a quarterback at 6. Okay, the teams most likely to trade up, Cincinnati and Miami, maybe Washington. They all need quarterbacks. As does Denver. I'm just not sure if Denver takes one in the first round. I don't think Denver takes one in the first round. I mean, but I just don't think so. So, couple other interesting names as we look. Look, T.J. Hockenson, I told you guys, tight end from Iowa, is getting all sorts of love. Here's the problem for Hockenson about going so high. Number one, tight ends just are never taken this high in the draft. That's number one. Number two, this might be the deepest tight end draft I can remember. I mean, you had about 6 guys that might go in the first 2 or 3 rounds. His teammate, Noah Fant, is probably going to go in the first round as well. So that's an interesting scenario. Christian Wilkins, I think the defensive tackle from Clemson, massively underrated. Massively underrated. I can argue he should be a top 5 pick. And I don't think I'd get a lot of pushback there. Somebody is going to get Jonah Williams. Someone's going to get him in the middle to late first round, and he could turn into an absolute all-pro year-in, year-out situation. He's that good. Dexter Lawrence is another guy we've got to look at. Dexter Lawrence is a guy that I have rated very, very highly. Another Clemson player that seems to be dropping in drafts. Greedy Williams is the best defensive back. Good spot for him would probably be Pittsburgh. They definitely need him. Not a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. not a lot of good cornerbacks. Look, Byron Murphy's a guy I like a lot. I like Byron Murphy a lot. Maybe Oakland looks at him at 24 out of Washington. There's not a lot of superior wide receivers. There's not a lot of good running backs in this draft. I don't know if a running back goes in the first round. I don't know if a, you know, Josh Jacobs from Alabama is going to go to somewhere or somewhere. I think I could confidently say he doesn't go in the top 20 picks. I'm not sure if he squeaks in the first round. Probably just inside. There might be one wide receiver, maybe two, that gets just inside the first round. But this is basically, this is a draft, if you like, defensive linemen, defensive ends, defensive tackles, this is your draft. Even the offensive lineman is not bad. You know, that's not bad. You know, but, look, it's a bad draft for cornerbacks, a bad draft for running backs, and a bad draft for wide receivers, in the first round at least. But that's okay. Listen, gotta get a good defense going. So, I'm looking at, you know, certain positions. Somebody asked me about New England. I think they'd love to fill the Gronk void. First of all, let me just tell you my thought about Gronk. I still think we see him play this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back to the playoffs, but Noah Fant at the end of the round makes a lot of sense. I think they have a chance to maybe get him there. All right, let's go over some quarterbacks, just my thoughts on the top quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, I gave you my thoughts on him. I do think he goes number one overall. I look at Kyler Murray. I don't even want to talk about his size because it's just so obvious what he is size-wise. I'll tell you this. When we had the draft of Winston and Mariota, I said, guys, I don't think either one of these players ever competes for an MVP. I don't think either one of these players ever wins a Super Bowl. But I think both of these quarterbacks will be starting quarterbacks for a little while on their teams. You know, 5-7 years. I feel the same way about Kyler Murray. I don't think he fizzles out. I don't think he, not with Kingsbury there, I don't think he's a fade out all of a sudden. We're not, you know, he's not going to be around in 3 years. I do think he probably is injury prone. I liken his career a lot to Marcus Mariota, a guy that has a lot of potential, just not quite able to ever break that gap. Now, look, you can look at Mariota and say he's had a pretty good career here. Right? He's brought his team to the playoffs. He's solid. I don't even know if Murray's going to be solid. I think he's fine. I think he's a starter for 2 or 3 years, maybe a starter for about 5 years, but depends on the injuries. That's about it. I'm not exactly looking at Murray to be a bust, but I'm certainly not thinking that he's ever a guy that is holding up a trophy. No. All right, Dwayne Haskins, kind of in the same camp with Dwayne Haskins as well. Dwayne Haskins is very good, very big. He's got a big arm, good arm strength. A lot of people like his football IQ from the head up. A lot of people like that he can make changes. The only thing that I would say is this. I watch a lot of Ohio State games, and Ohio State team is just so much better than everyone else. Their team is just ridiculously better than everybody else. And I don't know if that really makes me think Dwayne Haskins is that guy. Can Dwayne Haskins have a career where he's a solid player? Yeah. No, look, Jameis Winston, take away the garbage that he's done, take away the personality flaws and all that, right? Take away all that. Jameis Winston's career for Dwayne Haskins makes a lot of sense. A lot of interceptions, okay? Big arm, always saying, okay, he could break through, but never quite ever doing anything phenomenal on a football field. It's kind of Dwayne Haskins for me. Where does Haskins land? I'm not sure. I think he's a fit in Denver because of that big arm, and you think about it, he's got to play in the cold. I thought he was going to the Giants for a while. I'm off of that train, though. I'm off of that. Drew Lock is a guy that I told you during the year, literally week 2, 3, 4, I was talking up Drew Lock as being the best quarterback in this draft. He fell. He fell so far where I was hearing a lot of people say, you know what, he's going second round. He's a second-round guy. This week, he shot up draft boards. He shot up draft boards so much that I saw a mock draft where the Oakland Raiders trading into the number two pick to take him. I don't think that's happening. But do I think Drew Lock is the best quarterback in this draft? I do. Yes, I do. Nothing has changed for me this year. I think he's the best quarterback in this draft. I think he continues to be the best quarterback in this draft. I think he goes to a team that makes him be a good quarterback. Now, physical skills, maybe he won't have Dwayne Haskins or Murray. But I think he's a winner, and I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see him elevate his game on the next level. Once again, do I believe that this is a player that holds a Lombardi trophy? Probably not. Is he going to compete for an MVP? Probably not. What kind of career can I look at for a Drew Lock? That's a pretty good comparison. How about Kirk Cousins? How about Kirk Cousins for a good career for Drew Lock? You know, good quarterback, makes a Pro Bowl or two, but maybe the guy that just can never go to the over the hump. So where do I see Drew Lock going? I know people are talking about the Raiders. Washington makes total sense to me. Total sense to me. Washington makes a just too much sense. But the caveat is maybe Josh Rosen goes to Washington. Drew Lock may go to Washington. I also see a fit down in Miami for him. Daniel Jones is getting a lot of press right now. Daniel Jones looks like the guy the Giants want to take at 17. Daniel Jones, I like. He's big. He's played under a ridiculously good coach for a very long time. He just reminds me of that, you know, ceiling kind of guy, low ceiling guy. He reminds me of a really, really good backup quarterback that you have no problem putting in there as a starter every now and then. And that's the Daniel Jones I'm looking at. Could he be a consistent starter? Yeah, absolutely. Maybe you won't be able to give a comparison. Yeah, we always love the comparisons of who he could become and where he is, on the spectrum. Who can he become? A lesser version of Matthew Stafford? I don't think that's too far out there. A lesser version of Matthew Stafford, where he's not going to have that 5,000 yard year, but Matthew Stafford had a solid, good career. He's had some peak years. I think that's a good spot for him. Ryan Finley is a day two guy, okay? But Ryan Finley was a guy that is very underrated. Very underrated. I actually think that I think Ryan Finley has a chance to be better than Murray and Haskins. I think Ryan Finley has a chance to really separate himself. I think if somebody's going to get a quarterback in day two, and I'm talking about maybe a New England Patriots, maybe a team like that. Maybe a team that has an aging superstar quarterback. If the Giants don't get him in round one, Ryan Finley, round two. I like Ryan Finley. I think he's very underrated in this draft. Clayton Thornton from Northwestern, another guy. Big arm, massive zip on the ball. Okay, he's got a very smart, obviously, coming from Northwestern, but a smart, high football IQ. He's a guy that is a backup quarterback, though. I don't think you ever want him starting. He's a backup quarterback. He could succeed. Backup quarterback. So, that's your quarterbacks. That's kind of where I see them sort of landing as best as the projections can get at this point. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what the Raiders do. I think the Raiders are one of the teams to massively watch this year. They have so many picks. They're rebuilding from within. They have new regime. That's going to be an interesting scenario. I think the Josh Rosen storyline is massive, absolutely massive for this draft. A team is going to get Josh Rosen that isn't named the Arizona Cardinals, and that's going to really impact where they are. So here's the question. Where would Josh Rosen be ranked if he was available in this draft? And I think he's a top 10 pick again. I put him above Haskins. And, we know Murray shouldn't be ranked where he is, but so Rosen wouldn't go one, but could he be the number two quarterback taken? Yeah, absolutely he could. funny thing is that if the Giants were drafting right now, they'd be targeting Rosen at six, probably. I'd probably be their guy. And the Giants, listen, the Giants are a massive storyline. They're a massive storyline because we want to see what direction that this team is going in. They have two first-round picks. They have the number six pick in the draft. You know Eli's going down. They traded Odell Beckham. Get a new regime in Gettleman. You know, Saquon Barkley's the team. I mean, they have a lot going on in New York. That is a big-time storyline. The Denver Broncos become one. There are a lot of teams suddenly that are in the mood for a quarterback, right? Cincinnati, Denver, maybe the Giants, we don't know. You know, there are a lot of teams that are going out there and looking potentially for quarterback in the first round, and there are a lot of quarterbacks that not a lot separate them. Speaking to scouts, and I have two scouts at sportsgarden.com this week. Tuesday we're going to have a scout, and then Thursday we're going to have a scout on with me. So I have two scouts this week at sportsgarden.com. You guys can listen to, or just go right to Twitter afterwards. You guys can listen to the interview. I'm going to ask them, because what I'm hearing is not a lot separates the first quarterback in the draft from the sixth quarterback. And not a lot is going to separate Kyler Murray from Ryan Finley. So if you're a team that is sitting there with an early pick, do you quote-unquote waste it on a guy that maybe gets something similar later on? Miami, Cincinnati, Denver, the Giants, those are four teams that need a quarterback. Washington, that's five teams. One of them is going to wind up with Rosen. One of them, well, we know Arizona's going to get Murray. So at least four teams for Haskins, Locke, Jones, and Finley. And Finley's a day two guy. So basically, one of these teams is going to be kind of left holding the bag. If there's an over-under for how many quarterbacks are drafted in the first round, I think it's going to be pretty high. We know Murray's going to go. I'm expecting Haskins to go. I'm expecting Jones to go. I expect Locke to go. I expect four quarterbacks, maybe five, to go in the first round of a draft that is supposed to be nothing but defensive guys. Defensive tackles, defensive ends, rush the pass rusher. I think there could be five quarterbacks going on day one. I think that this is a weird draft because there could be five quarterbacks going on day one. In the first round, five quarterbacks. I'll probably put the number at four, but I think there could be five. There could be three tight ends taken on day one. I think I'm going to put the number at two, but there could be three. So we could have four to five quarterbacks, two to three tight ends, and we could have a draft where there's no running back and no wide receiver chosen before the top, inside the top 25, chosen until that last couple, five, six picks in the draft. You know, there is not a crazy notion to say, and I would take this bet, actually. I will take this bet if I can find a place that will give me this prop play, that there will be more tight ends drafted in the first round than running backs, and there will be more tight ends drafted in the first round than wide receivers. I'll take that bet. Somebody wants to give me that prop play. FanDuel, DraftKings, you guys do all kinds of sponsorships, right? Somebody give me that prop play. More tight ends drafted in the first round. Because I know one's going, and I think two. I don't think two running. I pretty much guarantee there's not going to be two running backs drafted. So at worst, you're getting a push. And I don't think three wide receivers are going to be drafted. That's my take on the draft here, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. We're going to have off tomorrow. Enjoy your Easter. Enjoy your Passover. Enjoy your holiday Sunday. Enjoy your Vegas Knights Day, because it's kind of a holiday. And I think that the Knights are going to move on tomorrow. So I'm hoping that the next time we talk, it's going to be talking about the Knights in round two. Make sure you guys go check out, listen to Frank tomorrow, and go down there. He's going to be at Sapphire, heard the commercial a couple of times tonight. That's going to be a good event. So make sure you guys support Frank down there. Tim Unglesby will be back with me next weekend. We'll be back on Saturday night, unless the Knights are playing. And I'm hoping that they're playing. I still hope that we are on. For everybody here at Heatwave Sports, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your Sunday. Have a good night, everybody.